Welcome to the Online Marketing for Doctors podcast, the place to grow and scale profitable practices with your show hosts, Huyen Truong and Steve Tate.
To win the game of marketing, you need to treat it as a process, not an event. And your team is an essential part of executing these marketing processes. And then in this special episode, I'm going to talk about the following key elements. How only work with A players is going to be the game changer. Why retaining top talent is the key to your business and marketing success. And how to do it. How to measure employee effectiveness and ensure team members are always focused on the most important tasks by using single OKR, objective key result, how to use a dead man's switch to ensure that you never become a bottleneck in your marketing system and processes. Welcome to another episode of Online Marketing for Doctors TV and Podcast Show, your go-to resource for growing and scaling your practice. I'm your host, Huyen Truong, a strategic marketing consultant for medical clinics. Over the past decade, my team and I have been helping hundreds of clinics around the world, across Australia, the UK, US, Singapore, India, Canada, New Zealand, and beyond to thrive using our proven patient generation system. Today, we're going to dive into a very special episode. It's quite unusual. We're talking about how only working with a player will change your game. I've heard from many clinic owners who refer to their team as a family. This sentiment seems nice, but deeply flawed. Here's a part of a memo Netflix shared with their employees. We model ourselves on being a professional sports team, not a family. A family is about unconditional love. A dream team is about pushing yourself to the best possible teammate, caring intensely about your team and knowing that you may not be on the team forever. Dream teams are about performance, not seniority or tenure. I have friends and family members that I love deeply, but I would never employ them. I help them in any and every way I can, but that's partitioned off in my personal life. My business needs to run like a sports team and have players who are there based on their performance. Early on in my business career, I hired people who were okay. They weren't terrible, but they certainly weren't awesome. They had the skills to do their job, but lacked drive, motivation, and ownership. They were B and C players. And because of this, many things fell back on me. I thought my job as a business leader was to inspire and motivate them. The results were fleeting at best, and I never succeeded in turning B and C players into A players. It was very expensive and frustrating. I often felt like I was running an adult daycare center. And today, I refuse to have anyone on my team who isn't an A player. I do this for two reasons. First, A players are a great deal. You pay them more, but they produce much more than they cost you. Secondly, having B and C players on your team slows down, demotivates, and drags down your A players. It feels bad to get rid of B and C players, especially they haven't done anything majorly wrong and are generally nice people, but you've got to do it. Your organization will always bottleneck with your weakest team members. You get the standards you tolerate, and real A players almost always seek out jobs and opportunities that they are currently unqualified for, but know that they can grow into. They are driven by pay for sure, but they're equally driven by the challenges of the role and learning opportunities. If you find that certain people on your team constantly need to be motivated, they are not A players. A players don't have to be motivated. They have high intrinsic emotional needs to succeed. They come with batteries included. The money you save on hiring B and C players, you spend many times over supervising, micromanaging, and motivating them. And it's a terrible deal for you and everyone else on your team. And also, be a magnet, not a jail. Business is an amazing vehicle for possibly impacting the world. You start with improving your own life, then your impact creator expands to encompass your family, your community, and your customers. An important group you want to possibly impact is your team. Earlier, I expressed that you should hire based on attitude and invest in your employees by training them with any additional skills they need to succeed in their role. A common objection to this is, what if I invest all of this time and money into training people and then they leave? The counter to this objection is, what if you don't train them and they stay? How expensive is that going to be for your business? We've been customers of businesses whose staff were incompetent. As a customer, this is frustrating, but as entrepreneur, it's disastrous. It leads to poor satisfaction levels, high churn rates, and lots of stress all around. So why is simply good business to have competent, well-trained team members? To me, it goes further. I want to have a positive impact on customers, but I also want positive impact the people who help make my entrepreneur dreams a reality. I want them to take away more than just a paycheck. I want their lives to be better by being associated with my business. I want them to take away skills and experiences they carry with them for the rest of their lives. When you create these kind of environments where your team is constantly learning and being challenged, they do great work for you and you won't want to leave. They've likely experienced boring work environments and micromanaging boss holes if what you're offering is the opposite of this. They want to be part of it for the long haul. And if the day comes when they find a better opportunity or want to start their own venture, be generous. Help them in that rather than trying to hinder or hold them back. There's nothing more satisfying than being mentioned in someone else's success story, right? And do this, you'll be a magnet for other hardworking, ambitious, and motivated people. You only need to be in a jail when your team doesn't want to be there. And hopefully that's not you and your business. If it is, I urge you to rethink your people strategy. The fish rots from the head down. And let's talk about the one thing. Objectives and key results, OKRs, are in vogue in many organizations as a way to measure employees' effectiveness and conduct performance reviews. Initially, I was enthusiastic about OKRs and believing they could modernize performance reviews and goal setting. However, my excitement went after learning about their origins and attending a full-day OKR workshop with an executive team left me disillusioned. In theory, OKRs seem ideal, but in practice, they often succumb to bureaucracy, linked to increased complexity and reliance on costly consultant and HR intervention. Here's a much simpler way that won't require countless meetings and lots of documentation. It comes from billionaire venture capitalist Peter Thiel. When he was running PayPal, he insisted that every employee have only a single focus. He would evaluate them only on that one thing, not five priorities or 10 areas or focus, just one. He would refuse to discuss virtually anything else with that employee. The most important benefit of this approach is that it forces the focus on the highest impact challenges of the organization. Without it, employees tend to focus on easier and less valuable wins. The most important priorities are usually the most difficult or are the ones that lack a clear solution. If you give an employee three priorities, most will gravitate towards the less valuable tasks with a clearer path to success. There are two major objections to this measurement approach. Firstly, they need to work on multiple different things. And secondly, it can have unintended consequences. It's true that most team members need to do multiple things, but they're usually one standout thing. If they knock it out of the park, would render their priorities obsolete. And often their one thing may result from them doing their other things. For example, if an employee's one thing is a number of qualified leads who book a conversation with your sales team, and then achieving that goal might involve other activities like improving the website or ad copy or so on. Unintended consequences are real. This is an example here. During British rule in India, the British government was concerned about the number of venomous cobras in Delhi. And to combat this, it paid a bounty for every dead cobra. And initially, it was successful. Large numbers of snakes were killed for the reward. But you can guess what happened next. People began to breed cobras to claim the bounty, which made the problem even worse. Poorly thought through metrics would create unintended consequences and perverse incentives. And the metric you choose should be easy to measure and hard to game. It won't be perfect at first, so you must periodically monitor, calibrate, and correct course as you get more and better information. Measuring too many things is suffocating and time-consuming. I love the simplicity and focus of the one thing metric it gives you. It's ensured that when you do performance reviews with your team, they will be focused, fun, devoid of the usual bureaucracy, and you can get on with real conversations about their performance and role. Let's talk about what, when, who, because the effective marketing is a process, not an event. Think about what are recurring tasks that are going to make up your marketing system. When will these tasks be done? Which ones will be daily, which one will be weekly, which one will be monthly and quarterly. In addition to this, you need to account for event trigger, one-off tasks. Finally, who will be responsible for them? Some of these processes will be run by automation, some will be done by your team, and some need a combination of both. An easy way to visualize your entire marketing system is with a table that has three columns labeled what, when, and who. Here's an example of what this could look like. What, reply to comments on social media channels. When, daily. Who, Valentina. What, write and send weekly newsletter. When, weekly. Who, Martina. What, write and mail a handwritten thank you note. When a patient makes a referral, and who? Levy. This what, when, and who table is designed to give you a high-level overview of your marketing system and the processes that form it. Your documented standard operating procedures provides more detail on how each task is done. Let's talk about your customer relationship management CRM or project management software that will play an important role in triggering and running or supporting many of these processes. And the who column represents the owner of the task. Even though multiple people may have a hand in completing a task, who is responsible for it? This applies even when a task is performed by automation. For example, the CRM system can likely fully automate emailing customers to ask for review. However, even automated system can have malfunctions or changes that yield unexpected behavior. Ultimately, someone has to be responsible for ensuring each process gets done, and these processes and how they are performed should be tied to each team member's performance metric. Thinking about your marketing as a process rather than an event is very powerful. This will create compounding returns over time, and as your business grows, you add more processes to your marketing system, and this creates a vicious cycle that keeps compounding at a faster and faster rate. Now, let's talk about the dead man switch. A dead man switch is a device designed to be triggered if human's operator becomes unresponsive. It can activate the brakes of a train if the driver is or appears to be incapacitated. An extreme example of Russia death hand program, a Cold War era automatic nuclear weapons control system that allowed for the automatic launch of the nuclear missiles should all Russian leadership be killed. So the biggest bottleneck to your marketing success will be probably you. I've seen this scenario countless times. So I also been in this, been the bottleneck to my team. A project or task gets stuck because it needs my review, for example. Depending on how much an entrepreneur likes to micromanage, this choke point can prevent something as small as a social media post from being published, right through a stalling an important revenue generating deal. The business and marketing equivalent of a dead man switch is an excellent solution to this problem. And unsurprisingly, one of the processes in my marketing system is regularly publishing content to our website and email lists and other media channels. My team does most of the work involved in making this happen, and it then comes to me for review, final edits, and approval to publish. In the past, if it was traveling, I was traveling or busy with some high priority project and couldn't respond in a timely fashion, our marketing efforts would effectively stall. We unblock this by establishing a dead man's switch. Now, new pieces of content sit in my queue, waiting for me to review them. If there's no response from me after 48 hours, they automatically proceed to be published. This default to publish policy means that variations in my schedule don't constrain my team's effort. Most of the time, I can do review content prior to publication, but either way, I don't become a bottleneck to my team. And if the team produced work that was way off the mark, this system wouldn't be viable. Our system works because our detailed standard operating procedures, style guides, and team training, okay? Now, some actions item for this episode that you can take away. Double down on your strengths and staff your weaknesses. Work with each team member to identify their one thing and regularly review and update it as necessary. Identify the tasks and processes that you are a bottleneck and implement a dead man's switch. And we also leave the link to our How Good Is Your Website quiz on the show notes, so you can do a 2 minutes quick check out to see how well your website is performing. And if you have any strong page generation system for your website, by answering this quiz question, you gain some insight into the effectiveness of your website. You like if you like a comprehensive audit and a 360-degree review of your website, please reach out for a discovery call. We schedule a website audit and a strategy session for you. And okay, that was a wrap up for another episode of the OMD TV and Podcast Show. If it was helpful to you, please subscribe to the OMD TV and Podcast channel so you never miss any future episodes. And please share this episode with your staff and colleagues. And you can visit our website at onlinemarketingfordoctors.com. And there's a link to book a discovery call. I look forward to speaking with you soon in our discovery call. And thank you for watching today. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Online Marketing for Doctors podcast with Huyen Truong and Steve Tate. Be sure to check out the archive section on our website for previous episodes at onlinemarketingfordoctors.com/podcast. And subscribe to the show so we can catch you at the next episode.